Merry Christmas.
It's good to see new faith. It's really good to get together and worship together in Christmas. Let's start with prayer. God, thank you for sending us your Son. God, thank you for thinking of us, knowing us, and yet you still love us. God, thank you for this very special day. Thank you for just all the presenters, the teachers, God, just to give you honor and glory. Thank you that you are with our children. God, that you love them, and that you love them more than we love them, God, and that you bless them. God, so thank you. Thank you for your Spirit, God, that is in this place. So we pray, God, that you would now impart your word into our hearts, God, that we would make most of your word. So God, teach us, nourish us, God, give us your bread. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Scripture says, the Bible says, that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God. So if what that means is if the sun represents God and the light is the manifestation, it is the glory of God. So if God is love and God shines his love, that's what glory is. If God is just and he shines his justice, that's what glory is. If God is holy and he shines his holiness, it is called glory. That's the way Bible talks about the glory of God. And so when Bible says he is the radiance of the glory of God, that means what makes the glory shine very bright is Jesus Christ. So God shined himself onto earth in the form of a man and sent his Son, fully God, fully man, and to now brighten how powerful the glory is in his Son. So today, we celebrate Christmas because we celebrate God giving us his glory in the brightest way possible, the most obvious way to tell us about who he is. And until God shines his glory, we don't know who he is. So there are 2 points today I want to impart with you from God's word. Number one, the radiance of God's glory, the brightness of God's glory, shines brightest in the background of humility and contentment. So if Jesus comes, right, in a manger, he is born in a manger, right, with other animals, he grows up as a carpenter, that's very, very deliberate. It is with purpose. The reason Jesus comes in a very modest way is because he wants to shine the most important things very brightly. For example, I love looking at the sky. Now, in order to see, however many people have seen the sky dotted with stars, where you can't even count, billions, you can't even, there's no part of the sky that is not dotted with stars. However many people have seen that, okay? There are many, many stars in the sky, and so the reason why we don't see it here in Northern Virginia is because there's too many, what? Man-made lights. Too many man-made lights. Too many lights in the street. Too many lights on in the building, in our houses. And it keeps us from seeing, okay, the brightness of God's glory. So number two, to imitate Christ most profoundly and fundamentally is to gladly love others mercifully, generously, and sacrificially, and allow the radiance of Christ shine brightly. So we'll go over that. The radiance of God, the glory of God. Okay, so let's turn to our Christmas passage, Isaiah chapter 53. So if you can turn to your Bibles, to your phones, to Isaiah 53, starting with verse 1. I'll give you some time. Isaiah 53. Now, this, in the first sign of God's call, the missionary call of Philip to an Ethiopian. In Acts chapter 8, God sends an angel to tell Philip to go and share the gospel with an Ethiopian eunuch. And the Ethiopian was reading this chapter. This is what the Ethiopian was reading when Philip found him. And Ethiopian, when Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the Ethiopian said, "How can I understand what I'm reading when nobody has told us?" And so Philip then began, as the Word of God says, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So this Isaiah 53, according to the New Testament, is about Jesus Christ. Let's read. "Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground." The picture here is there's dry ground. And you saw in the previous slide, if you can show that. So this is the picture that Isaiah is drawing up. Okay, let's go back. "He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him." So nothing about Jesus, right? We go, "Wow, that's an impressive man." Right? We're so used to people having to be impressive. But Jesus came deliberately unimpressive. He came so that nobody would, you would not notice this man. If you were to walk around, you would not notice him. He does not have skills. He does not have talents. He's not with somebody you would go, "Wow, that is a very special person." Jesus didn't come that way, and for a purpose. And so if we feel that maybe we don't have certain talents, that we're not making a lot of money, because that's the American dream. The American dream makes us feel like we have to be special. And Jesus says, there is a kind of special that I'm getting at, and it has nothing to do with the American dream. And so he came like this, and he was despised. People looked down on him. "And rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces." He was despised. There's a story. I work in a hospital, and there are people out on the front desk, and they make the appointments. They say, "Hi, can I help you?" And so I walk by many. There are many, many clinics in the hospital, and I walk by many, many front desks. And there's one desk. If I pass by this front desk and I don't say hi, she will then get my attention to make sure I say hi. Now, I thought it was just me, but I was talking to other leaders in the hospital, and this person will not let you get away with not saying hi. Because she is actually very hurt if you don't acknowledge this person. So the thing that disturbed, I talked to her. She says, because this is what, from her picture, this is what people do. When they're walking by and they look down, that means you hide your face. And you know what I do? And sometimes when she was bugging me about saying hi, I would put my face down. And then when she actually caught me, I think like 3 times, not saying hi, right? I think it finally dawned on me. Like I was disrespecting her. And it helped me. It helped me greatly to walk by, always say hi. Now I say hi when I walk by every desk, right? But can you imagine when somebody's walking by, right? If you are somebody that's important, like in a company, right? The president walks by, you would not go like this, right? But how about if you're the janitor, you know? Do you stop and go, hey, how are you doing, Jim? Like, do you do that, right? And so this person, so Jesus is one of those people, when he's walking by, you would not go, hey, Jesus, he's the kind of man you would go, oh. Like, you don't have time. That's the picture that we have here. As one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. We did not respect him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. That means we considered him cursed by God because he was so ordinary and so modest and so unattractive and untalented. Jesus was not very talented. He was a carpenter. He would not be someone, he didn't have a great voice. He didn't have athletics. You know, he was not a very, you know, talented person. And so people would look at him and go, that's cursed. You know? And people used to say, you know, what is there anything good that comes out of Nazareth? Do you remember that verse? Anyways, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with these wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. And like a sheep that before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. Jesus came for one reason only. As the representative glory. As the one who would represent most brightly who God is. His love, his mercy, his justice. Jesus came for a purpose. Right? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Let's read it again. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. What God wants us to know, what God wants us to see, is exactly what is most important to him. And so that means what is most important to God, you can see in Jesus Christ. Let's look at that. It says, so that's like, I am, so John 8, 12, and this is what Jesus says of himself. It says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It's not expected. The way Jesus comes, it's not how you would envision somebody that's great would come. That's why in Isaiah 53, if you can go back to the very beginning of that, right? What does it say? It says, who has believed what he has heard from us? Isaiah is saying, I mean, nobody believes me that this is how the Messiah would come. Because we think great people are great in our eyes in the way we think. And so they're expecting a king. They're expecting power, talent, authority, size. They're expecting it all. And Isaiah says, nobody believes me. Nobody believes me. John chapter 3:29. And so, John chapter 3:29 is saying consistently, the way to magnify Jesus is, in a sense, not get in the way. John chapter 3:29 says, the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy is mine, is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. God shines most brightly in our humility. And what else? In our contentment. The joy is mine. I mean, God came to give us Jesus Christ, the most important part of who he is. And here's the point. And he is enough. He is the reason why you feel special. For no other reason than I have Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying. The most special thing about you is that you have Jesus Christ. That means you can have nothing in this life and you'll be the richest man. You'll be the most talented person. Your radiance comes from him. And so John is saying, my radiance, my importance, my specialness comes from God. And so to see that most clearly, I must decrease that he may increase. So point number one is that the radiance of God's glory shines brightest in the background of humility and contentment. So if we don't feel like it's enough, then our enough is found in Jesus Christ. So that means that our children don't have to grow up to be talented and go to the most wonderful schools and to get best jobs. You know what it means? It means that if they learn to find contentment and happiness in Jesus Christ, then that is everything. Imitation of Christ. Let's talk about that. Now, Jesus came this way because this is the way that he would make the glory of God bright. Now, so on Christmas, we appreciate that about him. But on Christmas, the Christmas story, it was he was born in a manger. Right? That he was with the animals. Right? Nothing about the situation. So we worship that he was like that. But our response, right? Our response to Jesus on Christmas is to be like him. And so Ephesians 5, it says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So the Christmas story responds to you is just for the very reason why he came, the way he came, now Jesus is saying, be like me. Be like me. Go in the same way that I have come. Live in the way that I have lived. Imitate me. Right? Because you can't increase your specialness more than what I have already given you. You're released. You're free, right, to enjoy how special you are because God has chosen you, right? God has chosen you to receive his glory. So to walk in love, what does it say? Walk in love as Christ loved us. And how did he love us? Well, he became our sacrifice. And he says it again. He says in John 15, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. So that means, you know what this means? That our response to Christmas is that we do what he does. That means in our minds, we get prepared so that we could love each other the way Jesus loved us, sacrificially. I mean, that's why he came. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I tried to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ. It's hard not to seek our own advantage all the time. When I wake up in the morning, I think of all the ways I want to be advantaged. I think all the time of all the ways I want my children to be advantaged. I think of my friends and my family members. I want advantage. I want people to do well. People I love. And this is not arguing against that. What Jesus is showing you is that the advantage that you think you know is not what it is. Advantage comes through love and through sacrifice. And it is not obvious. And that's why people had a tough time. People say, that's why Isaiah said, who has believed what I have just told them? Well, back then, nobody. Nobody really believes that true advantage forever, for eternally, right, is to imitate Christ in the way he came and the way he lived. So number two, to imitate Christ most profoundly and fundamentally is to gladly love others mercifully, generously and sacrificially, and allow the radiance of Christ to shine brightly. Okay, let's close. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, that you would love us in such a way, God, that you care for us. I thank you that we are so content, God, that we don't have to fear. God, thank you that you are everything to us. God, that we can't gain any more than what you've already given us. Thank you for the peace, knowing that you're with us and that you'll never forsake us. And so today, God, for the people here, I pray that they would find contentment in their humility and ambition, God, to be radiant through your Son, Jesus Christ, to glorify you in every situation, in every conflict. Help us. Help us, God. In Jesus' name. Amen.